Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Senator Mike Lee joins us. And also, what is in a groomer anyway? Okay, groomer. We talk about that. And some people say there's a debate about this stuff. I refuse to believe that. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by putting Charlie Kirk Show into your podcast app and hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. At Turning Point USA, we are focused on making hope happen, starting high school and college chapters across the country. So go to tpusa.com today. Support our show at charliekirk.com/support. Attendance is skyrocketing for our upcoming Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS. So hopefully we'll see you there. Also, we have our tour coming up. We're going to Colorado University Boulder, University of California Berkeley, and Cal State Fullerton, tpusa.com/tour. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. So what is in a groomer anyway? Well, a groomer is someone who is sexually exploiting a child, exposing them to things that they should not expose them to. They build a relationship, trust, and emotional connection with a child or young person, and then they manipulate that. Otherwise known as our public school system. This is not controversial. It's very mainline belief that our public schools are actively engaged in grooming. Grooming is the deliberate act of bringing a child into a sexual, political, or racial ideology, practice, cult, or lifestyle without the knowledge or consent of his or her parent for the aim of isolating them from their family so the external party can abuse and manipulate them. That's worthy of memorizing. That's, of course, what's happening in our public schools. It is at direct odds against the biblical commandment to honor the parents. Honor your mother and father so you may live long in the land of which you are in. Only commandment that involves your nation and involves a promise. Now, so the entire Democrat Party is defending wildly gross policies of potentially decriminalizing pedophilia, normalizing grooming, getting really upset because in Florida, Ron DeSantis has signed into law a bill that pushes back against teachers being able to sexualize children. And so let's take a step back. Is there any evidence that young people are, let's say, identifying differently than generations before them? And if so, what is causing that? And should we care? Is it a big deal? 40% of United States Gen Zers and 30% of young Christians are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or queer. 1 in 6 Gen Z adults are LGBT, and a record number of U.S. adults identifies LGBTQ. Gen Z is driving the increase. A Gallup poll found that 7.1% of U.S. adults self-identify as LGBTQ. But as many as 40% of United States young people are gay. 40%. So we've called this accurately the gayest generation in history. Something is driving this. No one really wants to talk about it. Is it the way it naturally is? Is 40% of the population naturally lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender? Or is something else happening? Now, based on your emails, we get a lot of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. Parents are saying it's the cool thing to be gay nowadays. I didn't grow up in that world, so I can't comment on that either way. I can't imagine a world where being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is cool, but that's what people are saying, that it's the socially acceptable thing. In fact, it's the desirable thing to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. So 40% of young people are gay, And by the way, I didn't believe this until I opened up my email with you guys. I said, email me. Do you think this is true? We got tons of emails from you across the country saying, oh, yeah. I'd say at least we got emails from parents saying, yes, half of my 8-year-old's public school class is gay. Can you send me that teacher one you sent, Connor? I can't find that article. I've been trying to find it. As we see more Gen Z become adults, we may see that number go up. Now, I don't need to belabor this point, but how exactly are we going to continue to have children if 40% of young people are gay? Does anyone want to talk about that? Nope, of course not. I do find it interesting. That's a whole separate issue. I do want to go into the fertility crisis in America. Why are young women having such difficulty having children in America? It's very interesting to me. Something that we get a lot of emails about. There's a fertility crisis in America. No one wants to talk about it. What could possibly be driving it? Well, because men's testosterone levels are down, and there might be other things as well that play into that. Birth control could play into that. No one wants to say it out loud, but it very well could play into it. We prescribe birth control like Skittles to young women, and we act as if there might be no downside. Maybe there is no downside. I don't know. Some experts totally disagree. Look at this from a Washington Post article. Quote, Philip Hammack, a psychology professor and director of the Sexual and Gender Diversity Laboratory at University of California, Santa Cruz, said Gallup's findings are, quote, extremely exciting and consistent with his own research about young people identifying as gay in California. A key reason for the growth of how many people are gay, he said, is the internet. When Hammack was coming out in the 90s, there was no YouTube, no Instagram, no easy way to research sexuality or gender outside of a library or a gay straight alliance group. Today, teenagers have all this information at their fingertips. Quote, the rigid lines around gender and sexuality are just opening up for everybody. Young people are just doing it. They're leading the revolution, and they're focusing, they're forcing scientists to take a closer look. Do you think 40% of young people are naturally gay? Maybe they are. I don't think so. Something's causing them to be at least outspoken as gay. Texas teacher claims 20 fourth graders out of 32 identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer. We get lots of emails like this, by the way, a lot, where they say a majority of young people are identifying as gay. And then, you know, one person said, Charlie, so what's the big deal? It's like the cool thing to be doing. Okay, you think it's no big deal that an 8-year-old think they might be gay? You don't think that might thwart their path of who they are and their place in the world? Like, no big deal? Actually, I think it is kind of a big deal. A Texas teacher claims that 20 out of 32 of her fourth grade students, have come out as LGBTQ. Now, you think about it. If you're in fourth grade, why would you want to be straight? Outside of the fact that it would be hopefully natural for a majority of students. What sort of preference do you get if you're straight in America? Do you get a special month? Do you get a flag? A fourth grader, they're just kind of doing the math. They're like, wait a second. If I come out as gay, I get like a parade. I get like all these different names. I get to wear these different clothes. I get a whole month dedicated to me. There's a whole Netflix channel dedicated to it. Like, they just do the math. They're like, that's where all the attention is. Why don't I go do that? We have no idea for the coming decades the damage this will do to innocent children. We have no idea. No comprehension. Texas teacher said at the independent school district in Texas, Blackshear Elementary School hosted a pride parade for elementary schools, which was dubbed a wellness walk. It takes away the experience of celebrating pride. I feel that it's inappropriate to call our parade a wellness walk at all. While I understand that wellness walk is something that was previously in motion to promote health and fitness and is something we want to continue, really takes away from the experience of celebrating pride. So you're a fourth grader. You just start doing the math. Like, wait a second. This is where all the kind of attention, the focus is. I want attention and focus. I want extra currency. So a majority of fourth graders in this teacher's classroom, which is perfectly consistent with national trends. And I'm just going to ask a question. If a majority of young people end up being gay, will that be worthy of mention from the media? A majority. It started as, okay, this is a small portion of the population. And then it moves on. Now, a big driver of this, though, is bisexuality, is that people that aren't either gay or lesbian, but they like both. They like both men and women. So what is grooming? Something is making this happen, by the way. This is not the natural law. It just isn't. This is not the regular unfolding of events. This is not just how things naturally shake out. It isn't. There's something that is grooming or sending children into these behaviors. And on one side, you have the parents' party. It's like, wait a second. The parents' party that says, hold on. Like, 20 out of 32 fourth graders think they're gay? When I was in fourth grade, no one thought of any of that at all. And now this stuff is just being just sent down. This was not that long ago. It's 2004. It's 18 years ago. The not-so-secret gay agenda being pushed by Disney. So someone is putting this forward. So while we have the parents' party on one side that is advocating for a non-sexualized education, that is advocating for eternal principles rooted in the natural law, non-controversial stuff, on the other side we have the pervert party. So we have the parents' party and the pervert party, which is basically dividing the country. And the pervert party, they want to go after your children. It's their stated goal. Why else would they want to try to destroy this bill that's happening in Florida? What is wrong with that bill? Can anyone come on the show and tell me? And not everyone on the Republican side, by the way, is on board for the parents' party. Spencer Cox, Mitt Romney, they are excited. They're Republicans in Utah that get excited about the fact that your children are going to be taught about gay sex at 8 years old. There's some incredibly irrelevant people that are writing that, well, it's not really grooming. It might be bad ideology. Look, of course it's grooming. Not every teacher is a groomer. That's not what we're saying. We're saying the practice of allowing this to happen without us stopping it probably, not just probably, certainly has the output of 40% of young people being gay. And so we look at this and we say, okay, let's play this out. 40% of young people being gay. How are we going to have higher birth rates? Let's just start there. We're on the verge of a population collapse. So if you just take the straight population, a lot of young men really don't have their act together. They're going to remain single. The young women, they're not going to get married till in their 30s because you have to pursue your career. Bunch of garbage. So just in the straight population you're dealing with, which is 60% of Gen Z, they're going to have low birth rates. And then you got 40%. By definition, they're not going to have children because they're gay or lesbian or whatever. And then you add abortions on top of that. Free sex and birth control, how exactly are we going to continue to survive as a civilization? Maybe Elon Musk's warning against this was a lot more prescient than I think we realize. We're on the verge of a population collapse. We've said this many times on this program. Instead, all the hysteria-filled apparatchiks on television say there's too many people in the world. It's a bunch of garbage, too many people in the world. Religious affiliation has gone down with young people. It's gone down from 75% of young people identifying as Christian in 1988 to less than 50% now, failure of the American church. Obviously, we've gone into that in great detail. The self-righteous, condescending folks that are too busy writing attack pieces about me and not actually spreading the gospel. But then here's what's really interesting. This is a Washington Post deal, I think. Religious composition of younger millennials who say homosexuality should be accepted. 49% of Christians say it's fine. 17% of Catholics say it's fine. Only 1% of Mormons, 1% of Orthodox Christians. Someone's doing the grooming. Play cut 108.
The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and like our leadership over there has been so welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. And so like, all that like momentum that I felt, like that sense of I don't have to be afraid to like, let's have these two characters kiss. Let's in the background, this are, like I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to like the, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
That's a Disney executive says we have the not no secret, say it's not so secret gay agenda. We're adding queerness at every single corner. No one's going to stop me. If you see queer, it's because of me. That's grooming. It's immoral. It's happening at record rates. And the fruit is already bearing out. This is not me like warning you that something is going to happen. This is not you, not me warning that there's something around the corner. No, no, no. This is me telling you that it's already here. The media is, of course, reacting as you would expect. Conservatives are smearing don't say gay opponents as pedophile groomers. We're not smearing anything. We just are calling you groomers because you are. I cannot teach in Florida. LGBTQ educators fear fallout. Okay, leave. Get out of Florida. Go teach in New York or France or wherever. Or you want to go groom a sixth grader about how to be a lesbian or whatever it is that they want to do. I can't teach, really? You can't teach unless you talk about your sexuality? It's like that important to you? These people are sick. The new Red Scare, Washington Post. The right leans into pedophilia accusations. Well, it's not accusations. You look at what Ketanji Brown Jackson has done, it's more than accusations, which actually is a great segue to our next guest and some breaking news. Ketanji Brown Jackson is now going to be a United States Supreme Court Justice. No surprise there. She is confirmed, and we're going to have exclusive first reactions from Senator Mike Lee, the good man from Utah, unlike Spencer Cox, who I got my suspicions about Spencer Cox. That's a separate issue for another time. And Mitt Romney. So we got Mike Lee coming up, who is phenomenal from Utah. We need more people. I've known Mike Lee for years, and he loves liberty. He loves the Constitution, and he's been so good on the constitutional issues, vaccine mandates. I really want to get his reaction on Ketanji Brown Jackson and all of that. Washington Post says, quote, a vote in support of Jackson is not pro-pedophile in any rational sense. Okay. You guys are welcome on my show to ever talk about that. I noticed that the pro-groomers, they don't like to talk about it. They don't like talking about how children are being groomed. Have they been on TikTok and they've seen these hundreds, if not thousands, of videos of teachers literally coming out and talking about lesbian and gay sexual matters with five-year-olds? Look, inflation is out of control. One area we see it more than ever is the grocery store. Even though grocery prices feel like they've doubled, Good Ranch's prices have stayed low and affordable. Once you subscribe, it's locked in. The price never goes up. Your best price is locked in for life. They sell 100% American meat and deliver it to your door for a great price. Good Ranchers helps solve your meat problem. And the problem is 85% of the grass-fed beef in stores and online is imported. Shop Good Ranchers for all your beef, chicken, and seafood needs. Their pre-trimmed and pre-marinated chicken breasts are absolutely delicious. I love Good Ranchers, and you guys should too. Their animals are ethically raised, and they're beautifully sourced. They do the things the right way, and it shows in every box. Good Ranchers takes the guesswork out of the meat aisle and grocery shopping. Get a steakhouse quality at home with Good Ranchers. Right now, go to goodranchers.com/Charlie and do it right now. It's Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. I love Good Ranchers. When Good Ranchers gets delivered to our home or to our office, it's something incredible. If you don't buy the meat in your house, tell the person who does to check out Good Ranchers. Support the Charlie Kirk Show. Support America. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. There are very few people in the United States Senate that I have a great deal of respect for, but this man has been fighting for liberty, for the Constitution, for separation of powers, consent to the governed for years. And he's in a tough reelection bid in Utah, of all places. And he needs your help and your support. It's Senator Mike Lee. Senator, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Good to be with you, as always.
So just breaking in the last couple of moments, Ketanji Brown Jackson is now going to be a Supreme Court justice. You voted no. Give us your take.
I voted no. Look, she's got some impressive qualifications academically and professionally. I'm concerned about her judicial philosophy and therefore can't vote for her. What I mean by that is she doesn't have an appropriate relationship with the role of the federal judge, which is narrow, and it's supposed to focus on interpreting the law rather than making policy. There are too many instances in which she's done the latter when her job is limited to the former.
So she was narrowly confirmed with 53 votes. Talk more about kind of her philosophical view of what she thinks a judge needs to be, more activistic, a living or breathing constitution, kind of in the tradition of Ruth Bader Ginsburg or the Warren Court or the Burger Court, when in reality we've kind of seen this really exciting revival of people more in the tradition of Scalia. Talk about how she's kind of a departure, obviously, because of who nominated her, Joe Biden, and what that could mean for liberty and for citizens watching the show.
Yeah, you know, I think she'll be to the left, not only of the Republican-appointed nominees to the Supreme Court, but I think she's probably to the left of Earl Warren, of Harry Blackmun, of Stephen Breyer.
That's right.
Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think she is a liberal ideologue, a very smart liberal ideologue who's shown her colors in the past. For instance, by enjoining Trump-era administrative decisions that were outside of her jurisdiction. On at least two occasions, she took a Trump-era executive action and invalidated it in the absence of a valid cause of action, really in the absence of jurisdiction and was twice reversed by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which is a very left-leaning appellate court. She did this just like her deviations from sentencing law and sentencing guidelines in sentencing child pornography defendants, some of the most vile crimes known to humanity, and she appeared to give them the absolute bare minimum, not just bare minimum under the law, but significantly below where the law would have set the sentence.
And so the only thing I'll push back a little bit on, Senator, just kind of jokingly, is, I mean, she couldn't define what a woman is. And so for that, for me, I just, do you have any reaction of that? I mean, where are we in America where that's like a controversial question?
Yeah, you know, I almost couldn't believe my ears when I heard Senator Blackburn ask the question, and when I heard her response saying, I'm not a biologist, so I can't tell you. And far from this being just some sort of fanciful hypothetical, this is a pretty relevant situation. There are myriad instances in which a judge or a Supreme Court justice would have to interpret the word woman or interpret the concept of sex. And if she can't identify, if she can't even begin to define what a woman is, that's also troubling.
I would say so. So talk about your race. It's a really interesting one. It's a conservative state. There's a big divide in Utah. I think you're with the voters, you're with the people, and then there's kind of a, let's just say, a pretty bitter group of people in Utah that just don't like a great senator that fights for liberty. Just give our national audience a little bit of a picture of what's happening in Utah politically.
Got an independent challenger coming after me, a guy named Evan McMullen. Evan McMullen,
he's the worst.
He's running as an independent, and he's teaming up with Democrats. He's teaming up with some very prominent Democrats in Utah, trying to convince the Democratic Party not to field a candidate to run against me. In this instance, if he were to succeed, and he appears to be making considerable headway in doing so, he could make this a single-digit race, you know, possibly a five-point race. But look, the bottom line is he's someone who voted for Joe Biden. He encouraged other people to vote for Joe Biden. He's praised Joe Biden left and right. He criticized everything Donald Trump ever did as president. He's called Republicans racist. And now he wants to cobble together this group of Trump-hating Republicans with a few independents and a whole bunch of Democrats to try to defeat me. Look, the voters of Utah aren't going to go for that at the end of the day, but he's going to make it really difficult. And he could make this a very tight race. One thing we also know about Evan McMullen, we know that he will not caucus with Republicans, which means that if he's elected, if he were somehow to defeat me, this could independently cost the Republican Party the opportunity to gain the majority this fall.
It's LeeForSenate.com. I have so much respect for you, Senator. You're so kind and nice. I'm like, ah, he's the worst. And you go through this very articulate of someone who's challenging you, I think, unnecessarily.
I'm telling you why he's the worst. No. This is why he's the worst.
No, I know. So you mentioned the Senate. You mentioned a vote for leader. Some of our audience is pretty upset at Mitch McConnell and potentially Rick Scott making a play for leader. Any palace intrigue there? What side you would go on? Anything you could play into there?
Well, look, I like both of these guys. They're both my colleagues. I get along with both of them. At the end of the day, we will have a decision to make. I hope that decision will be for majority leader. But that is a decision that makes no sense to try to litigate now in advance of the election. And I suspect some of the alleged palace intrigue may be exaggerated. But, you know, there's some legitimate differences of opinion over Rick Scott's plan. I personally encourage my colleagues to come forward with plans.
Yes.
Plans of what they would like to do, what they would like to see the Republican Party focusing on. And I think that's a good thing.
So if we take back the Senate, which I think we will, what's the mandate, Senator? What are you going to be spending your time on? There's been so many injustices done that I think are worthy of investigation. Fauci, you know, the origins of the virus, mask mandates, vaccine mandates. What are you really going to focus on if we get the majority back, especially from an oversight capacity and from the committees you sit on?
All right. So since you mentioned oversight, oversight is going to be a big issue, from Fauci-related issues to abuses in almost every part of the executive branch of the federal government. What's been spent, what's remained unspent, why? There's going to be a target-rich environment for investigating things, to say nothing of the Hunter Biden fiasco, I think a lot of those things will immediately be on the table. On a substantive policy level, I think we're going to need to look at government spending and how to reform it. I think there will be a stronger call than ever to reform the way Congress passes appropriations measures. We've got to abandon once and for all this practice of waiting till the last minute before the expiration of a spending period, and then allowing the what I call the law firm, currently constituted as the law firm of Schumer, McConnell, Pelosi, McCarthy. The law firm emerges from the caverns beneath the Capitol with a 2,714-page bill that spends $1.5 trillion and says, okay, we only have a few hours left. You either got to vote for all of this or none of it, but if you vote against it, you'll be accused of causing a government shutdown. That can't happen. Not on our watch, never, ever again. So that's one of my top priorities, in part because it's one of the things that's driving inflation. Mm-hmm. In Utah, people are paying $582 a month more for everything they buy just because of this runaway government spending. We've got to take control of that. Federal regulations also. I've got a broad array of federal regulatory reform legislation that we need to examine. This is another contributor to inflation. Energy is also going to be a big part of this ticket. We've got these moratoriums put in place on oil and gas leasing on federal lands. That's halting our production. That's driving up the price of gas, of oil, and of all the products that are made with them. And that's a big problem.
So another part of this is just government overreach. And I know that's a passion of yours to try to rein in. Department of Justice calling parents domestic terrorists. I'm hearing firsthand stories of overreach of government agencies, IRS, FDA. It seems as if kind of the Obama cartel is back in charge of government. Is that something you're going to be focusing on? I'm sure you're getting a lot of complaints from constituents in some of your oversight.
Absolutely.
Trying to rein in the fourth branch of government.
Absolutely. I mean, you've seen it on our Judiciary Committee. Even when the Democrats call committees, one of the many bad things about not having the majority is that we're not in charge of the hearings. But they'll call a hearing for one purpose, and we're able to still ask questions of Attorney General Merrick Garland, of top officials of the FBI, about what we want to talk about. Now, they can gavel us out when our time has expired, and we can't issue the subpoenas that we'd like to. All that will change when we get the majority, because we'll be able to ask tough questions. Tough questions like, why on earth did you collude with outside leftist groups in order to brand concerned American parents as domestic terrorists? And what makes that okay? And the difference is, we'll be able to ask the question then, as we have now, but this time they can't filibuster us until our clock runs out, because this time we'll be able to issue subpoenas.
It's a big difference. So just in closing here, Senator, I want to tell your website, leeforsenate.com. When is your race? How could people help you and get behind you? And then talk about what other races across the country are you focused on?
Great. Yeah. Leeforsenate.com is my website. I've got a multi-stage election process in Utah. We've got an April 23rd statewide convention in Utah. I've got five primary election opponents who I'll be facing in that convention. Then we've got a June 28th primary. It looks like I will face a primary on June 28th with at least two of the five of my primary election challengers. I expect to win that, but you know, I've got two of my challengers who, between the two of them, have raised over $1.5 million against me, and that's why I can use all the help I can get. Then the November election, with the general concern that I raised with regard to Evan McMullen, my leftist independent challenger. As far as other races I'm looking at, look, I'm very, very excited about a handful of races. I think we're in a very good position to achieve net gains through Georgia, mm-hmm. Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire. There is now some reason to believe that the state of Washington might be in play.
Wow.
And I'm very happy about a number of those. I've been deeply invested in the Ohio Senate race. I'm a supporter of Josh Mandel. I've supported him each time he's run for the United States Senate. I think this is the time he's going to win, and I very much look forward to having him as a colleague. I'm also a big supporter of Adam Laxalt in Nevada. He's a good, solid conservative with a long track record.
Very good, Senator. Well, we're on different sides of the Ohio Senate race, but that's okay. Disagreement is fun. So JD's a good friend of mine, but I will say we're 100%.
I love JD too. He's a good man, I'm all in with Josh.
And disagreement is fun. That's what makes friendships and politics really worth it. Thank you, Senator, for what you're doing. We're 100% behind you. And it's leeforsenate.com. Everyone help out Senator Lee. Thanks for what you're doing to defend
thanks
our liberty.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found out that around 2006, towels changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they didn't work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. It's a six-piece set, two-bath, two-hand towels, two washcloths, made with USA cotton. They're soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, now $39.99. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Enter promo code KIRK. Call 1-800-875-0425 for these great radio specials. That's MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener square, MyPillow.com. I want to play some more sound here. Do we have Pedro Gonzalez in cut 111? Play cut 111.
It really cannot be stressed enough that Republicans are not your friends. At critical moments, at pivotal junctures, they will stab you in the back like Spencer Cox tried to do. But thankfully, Utah seems like one of these rare examples where there is a growing contingency of Republican lawmakers who are at least proceeding from the understanding that I need to do what my constituents want me to do in order for me to fulfill my role in office.
Page, that ties perfectly into what we were just talking about with Senator Mike Lee, kind of what's happening in Utah. It's very interesting about how some of the most conservative states in the country just get totally hijacked by these fake Republicans. I mean, Spencer Cox, what a weak, cowardly man, lacking of principles, lacking of conviction. Pedro continues, cut 110.
And I think Spencer Cox's case is very illustrative of this relationship between woke capital and progressive ideology. You know, what explains the bizarre behavior of guys like Cox and Romney, who consistently side with the people who want to sexualize our children, these so-called groomers? Well, like you pointed out, it actually tends to pay pretty well. For example, Cox's financial disclosures from last year show that Zions Bank Corporation is his biggest corporate donor. Zion has a friendly relationship with Troy Williams, the executive director of Equality Utah, an LGBT advocacy organization.
Could it be that it's not just coward? It's corruption? Cowardice, it's corruption. I've said for a while that these pharmaceutical companies, the very same pharmaceutical companies that are the ones that are behind the vaccine mandates, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, there is a massive opportunity here to expose how the pharmaceutical companies are also standing to make billions of dollars putting puberty blockers and hormone blockers. There is a financial incentive behind this entire program. There is a financial incentive behind trying to sexualize your children. Here's Utah Republican Governor Spencer Cox, shares his preferred pronouns. Play cut 68.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am Governor Spencer Cox, and I have the pleasure today of hosting the first One Utah student town hall. And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. Thank you for sharing yours with me.
Boy, he's very effeminate. And no, he's not the mayor of some sort of bureau in San Francisco. He's the governor of Utah. Father of four should know better than that. Goodness. I mean, let's replay that. Cut 68. If I didn't tell you who this was, you'd say that this is some sort of grooming teacher from New York City. Play it again. This is the governor of Utah. Cut 68.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am Governor Spencer Cox, and I have the pleasure today of hosting the first One Utah student town hall. And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. Thank you for sharing yours with me.
My goodness. He should be nowhere near leadership, let alone leadership of Utah. We deserve, the people of Utah are wonderful people. They deserve so much better than that. Father of four playing into that. Play cut 78.
There's a couple of things to say here. One is, even if you are looking for a threshold, let's say there's a threshold, I'm making this number up, but let's say it's at age 8. Still, that tells you that some adult child sex is permissible. Second, the notion that it's wrong even with a one-year-old is not quite obvious to me. There are reports in some cultures of grandmothers fellating their the baby boys to calm them down when a colicky. Now, I don't know if this is true, but this is sort of widely reported as occurring in at least one culture. And it working, that the grandmothers believe this actually works. If this were to be true, and again, I don't know it to be true, if it were to be true, it's hard to see what would be wrong with it. So, yeah, I guess I think, no, I don't think there's a blanket period beyond which this is permissible. If we're interested in willing participation.
That's a professor who says, I don't know what would be wrong with having sex with a one-year-old. Where's the difference between the governor of Utah and that professor? We've got to stand up to Republicans, sometimes even more than Democrats. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.